This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, Bingwai World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome into the Baseball Reporters. Marshall Hook continuing to fill in for, now I'm filling in for Tony. Earlier, mere moments ago, I was filling in for Mike Felger. But regardless, you've got me and Mike O'Brien taking you up for the next hour talking about baseball here and your Boston Red Sox. The All-Star break is now officially over. I mean, technically, it ended last night when baseball got back to work. And it used to be that the Thursday after the All-Star game would be when everyone gets back to work. But last night, it was just a single game with the Rangers beating the Astros by a 5-0 score. But tonight, your Red Sox get back to work, hosting the first of three against the L.A. Dodgers down at Fenway Park. They're going to have, obviously, a rematch of the World Series, the one that the Red Sox, as you may have heard, did come out victorious. Eduardo Rodriguez versus Kenta Maeda is the matchup tonight. 617-779-0985. That is the phone number if you want to talk about things. And where I'll start tonight is, you know, technically the Red Sox have played a few more than half the season, but let's go ahead and call this the halfway mark, right? This is the beginning, the unofficial beginning of the second half of the season. And as we take a look at things for the Red Sox, it's been an underwhelming first half for your Boston Red Sox. They got off to a really disastrous, very start to the season, and that came after a spring training in which manager Alex Cora seemed to, you know, take a more lackadaisical approach to things and saying, you know, this worked for us last year and we're just going to go into this a little bit smoother. We're going to take a little more time off. We're going to relax. And it looked as though that kind of laissez-faire attitude carried directly into the start of the season, for which your Boston Red Sox didn't really seem prepared to begin. And that led to, I don't remember exactly what the record was, but something like 6-13 to start the year, something like that. And it's a hole that the Red Sox have never dug themselves out of. Yes, they've gotten back to 500, I think, more than once. But at present, they sit a full 9 games behind the New York Yankees, 6.5 behind Tampa Bay Rays, who actually were in first place for a lot of the beginning of the season. And that's because neither of those teams got out to that same slow start. So what are you looking for out of your Boston Red Sox here in the second half? What are you, I mean, as a caller to Felger and Maz made the point not too long ago, the Red Sox are, they're starting off right there with a very difficult road to go. The Dodgers have 60 wins on the year against 32 losses, which, if we do the math, those are more wins than any team anywhere in Major League Baseball have. So they are taking on the winningest team in all of Major League Baseball to start the second half. Yeah, they went into it having won 4 in a row, but they did that against the Tigers and Blue Jays. They got their asses kicked and hard when they played the Yankees in London. That was the last real kind of talent that they faced. So it would not at all be shocking to me if they come out of this weekend series, you know, having lost 2 of 3 or something like that. And then they come up on this stretch where they're playing the Yankees and the Rays a lot. There are deficiencies on this team. There are areas that they need to improve. And in fact, there are not many areas that they don't need to improve. We've talked about the bullpen. They don't have a closer. And I'm here to tell you that even when Nate Eovaldi comes back, even when he gets healthy and is actually, you know, rehabbing or, God forbid, gets reinstated from the disabled list, it won't matter if you make him your closer or you insert him into your rotation. Whatever spot he doesn't go into, you're still going to have a deficiency, and that assumes that he's going to be effective at whatever spot you put him into. And I don't know how you can take a look at a guy like Nathan Eovaldi and say, well, He's had two Tommy John surgeries. He was injured a good part of last year. Finally got healthy, came to the Red Sox, struggled at times. Awesome. Awesome in the postseason. Terrific in the postseason. And then he's been injured all this year. But he's the guy that right now we're going to go ahead and put into a high leverage role like the closer and say we need to pitch you in back-to-back nights in important situations, and you think that's just automatically going to work out. To the same tune, you're going to put him in the rotation, if you were to do that, and say, well, that's automatically going to work out. But Dave Dombrowski would have you believe that getting Nathan Eovaldi back from the DL is all that you need at this point. So sure, they're out there looking at trades. We heard that they're emphasizing looking at a starting pitcher, talking apparently to the New York Mets about one Zach Wheeler. And yeah, I understand Zach Wheeler is not what he once was, but I still wonder why you would be the team if Zach Wheeler's out there and available. You're not going to be the only team interested in him. He is still a serviceable starter, which is saying something at the deadline, particularly this year when there's only the single deadline. You need to get them before the end of July. You're not going to get them. So you're not going to be the only suitor for Zach Wheeler, and I don't know what you have to give up to get him. So I ask you again, what is it you think this team needs to do? Where is it, as we begin the second half of this season, that this team needs to go? Yeah, they need to win games. We get that. They need to win more than they lose by a long shot for them to have a chance to get into the postseason. But other than their existing players playing better, or maybe that's all you need, what does this team need going into the second half? My focus is still where I just discussed, the bullpen. Because if you take a look at whatever that number is right now in terms of blown saves, 16, 17, 18, 19, doesn't really matter. It's a big number. It's a big fat number. In fact, let's for a moment pretend it's 18, because half of 18 is 9, and 9 just happens to be the exact number of games you're behind the Yankees. So even if you were to cut your number of blown saves in half and everything else stayed the same, and I understand there are games where you have a blown save and you still win that game. And there are games when, you know, that doesn't happen. So it's not an exact science. But let's go ahead and say you cut those number of blown saves in half. Well, you're at the very least definitively in the mix for the division, and you're sitting on one of the better records in baseball. Alternatively, where you are now is 9 games back at 49 wins. So me, I'm picking the bullpen. It doesn't have to be a closer, but it probably should be a closer because you don't have one of those. And if we've learned nothing from this team this year, any old middle reliever does not a closer make. You can't just take any of them and put them and make them your last guy and say, hey, you're now my closer. Because there's a mental makeup involved. There's a mental makeup involved to being a closer, and these guys don't have it. And I don't blame them for it. Like, I'm not blaming Matt Barnes that he has failed as a closer, because Matt Barnes is not a closer. That would be like blaming Steve Pierce that he doesn't play a good second base. Steve Pierce is not a second baseman. If you put him at second base, you're playing in a position he's not suited to play, and if he's booting balls all left and right, well, that's not Steve Pierce's fault. That's the manager's fault or the GM's fault for creating a team where you have to have Steve Pierce at second base. And to me, it's exactly the same thing when you put Matt Barnes into the high-leverage closer role. You've put him into a position that he is not suited to play in. It's one in which he has no experience, and you can't just stick him there and say, oh, everything's taken care of. So I don't know, Mike O'Brien. For me, as I take a look at this team and I take a look at what has gone wrong in the first half of the season, and I say, what single fix? Because they need multiple, but if the question is what single area would I focus on, for me, it's the bullpen. For you?
Thinking about this a little bit, because I think a lot of people look back to last year and Craig Kimbrel and how he faltered in the playoffs and how the Sox ended up using basically starters in the bullpen to win that world championship. But Kimbrel's a guy that got you there during the regular season. He was your true closer, 18 blown saves this season. Part of me wants to say starting pitching because the starters for the Sox have not gone deep this season and deep into games. They've been forced to go to the bullpen far earlier than they would have liked in far too many games. So I think part of my thinking is you add a starter pitcher, quality starting pitcher, and maybe that's the first domino to fall where you're not taxing the bullpen as much, and maybe you don't have as many blown saves, and you're able to kind of work your way through the second half of the season. But I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I think that you need an eighth inning or a ninth inning guy. You need a true closer. I'm not saying a true closer, but you need someone who is able to close games, because so far, first half of this season, no one's been able to step up to that plate, or step up to that mound, if you will, and take the job. You hoped one of these guys would kind of seize the reins. They haven't. And the loss of Craig Kimbrell is far bigger than I think anyone would have thought heading into the season.
Well, and the argument has been made back at me. They start talking to me about specifically Craig Kimbrell and say, well, Craig Kimbrell, you know, he struggled a little bit down the stretch. He was not great in the playoffs. I'm not advocating that you needed to sign Craig Kimbrell, that specific guy. I'm not saying, and in fact, at the end of last season, particularly when Craig Kimbrell got out there and started talking about 6 years and $100 million, which clearly did not come to fruition, he was talking about insane money. He was older, and he struggled at the end of the year. So I was not advocating to sign Craig Kimbrell. I, in fact, was advocating the opposite. But what I was saying is you got to get a closer. And this is where I think it's important to have that experience, because I want somebody who has had closing experience, who has actually done it somewhere in the major leagues, on any team, not even like a whole season. Show me that the guy, came in for some injured closer on some other team and he closed for a month, or he closed for 2 months until that guy got healthy, or he had the job for half a season, something like that. Show me that he has had the ability in the major leagues to go out in a one-run game in the ninth inning where you have to dispatch these guys in order or very quickly, effectively, and not allow a run. Show me a guy who's been able to do that time and again, even over the course of just a few weeks or a month. I'll take that, because nobody, quite literally nobody on your Boston Red Sox team has done that. The only guys you had who had done that, Carson Smith did it for the Mariners like 4 years ago, for literally a few weeks. He's not on the team anymore. Tyler Thornburg, I know, is a very effective reliever. He may have done it. I don't know. But he had 41 appearances with the Red Sox over 3 years, and they were dreadful. So he's not that guy. And then all of these no-name guys that you have on this team, I mean, literally, a couple weeks ago, Billy Laney and I sat down to just look at the Red Sox roster of relief pitchers and seeing how many of these guys we'd even heard of. These are not your answer. So I want an actual guy with closing experience. Unfortunately, those people aren't easy to get this time of year. The time to get them is in the offseason when you, the Red Sox, have money, something a lot of teams don't have, and you can just use that. Now you need to use trade capital to get them, and I don't know that there are any of them out there, and if there are, I don't know that you can afford them. But if I'm going to highlight one area of need, for me, it's going to be it. Go find a closer, and no, Nate Eovaldi doesn't count. 617-779-0985. That is the phone number. I see someone on the line. We'll take your call after a quick break here. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marshall Hook and Mike O'Brien here with you on a Friday afternoon. It's the Baseball Reporters show, and we're talking about the Red Sox here at the start of the second half of the season. They're a team that still, at some level, is in the playoff hunt. If they were to start today, they'd be out of it. But still, they're only a couple games out. Different teams going in different directions. I still think they're a team that's in a position to be a buyer at this point in the year. And with the trade deadline coming in just a couple weeks from now, I think the area they should be focusing is at the closer position. Because if there's one thing they've been lacking all year long, it's a closer. Mike, in the car, welcome to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to see, the Red Sox have Henry Mejia in Pawtucket, which he used to be a closer for the Mets. Not sure why they haven't called him up yet. I know he has some issues and he comes with a lot of baggage, but it's worth a shot because they've gave other guys that obviously didn't have great results some opportunities. But Henry Mejia was with the Mets, I think, from 13 or 15 as their closer, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mixing up the years, but he's someone they should at least give it a shot and see if he works out or not.
All right. Well, I think I meant to turn him off, and I turned me off. That's not the way that works. Yes, Henry Mejia is pitching for AAA Pawtucket. He was a closer for the Mets, and he did have some personal option or issues, which were notable. But none of that is the reason that he is not at present pitching for the Boston Red Sox and certainly not closing. It might be because he's got a 6.75 ERA. In his 33 games in which he's pitched so far. So
is he on the 40 man?
No, I don't think so. I can't imagine he is. But the bigger problem is he's getting lit up down at AAA. So I hardly think he is the answer to bring up to the major leagues and be a closer at this point. And he was briefly a closer, but he does. To the caller's point, he does fit what I was talking about. Somebody who's had even the remotest bit of actual experience and success at being a closer, and he does do that. So there are options out there on the trade market. There always are this time of year if you're in the market for a closer. And by the way, the phone number, in case you'd forgotten the last 2 minutes, is 617-779-0985. I pulled up, as you can always do this time of year. You know what? The internet's great for this thing. Top trade candidates for the MLB deadline. And I have one in front of me. And so this is not specific to closers. This is not specific to any position. This is just some random person, somebody named Jeff Todd. So if you believe in Jeff Todd, this is their list of the top trade things, and there are 50 of them. Don't worry, I'm not going through all of them. But what is notable is the number one guy on this list, he just happens to be a closer, Will Smith, relief pitcher of the Giants. And in his little write-up here, it's just a couple sentences, a shutdown rental closer who throws from the left side and isn't all that expensive, makes a little over $4 million for the year. It's going to be a popular trade target. Smith would upgrade every contender's roster and suit every payroll, right? So all of that right there, that sounds great, right? That sounds exactly like what the Red Sox need. Doesn't matter the left side part, but he doesn't make a lot of money. He's going to be a shutdown closer, has been for a little while in San Francisco. Uh-oh, here's where the problem comes in for the Red Sox. Accordingly, the acquisition cost will be high. And we circle back around to the Red Sox, who have effectively nothing to give. And in fact, prior to, I don't know, about a month and a half ago, there was a fellow named Michael Chavis who seemed to be their biggest trade chip. Not that they were necessarily willing to trade him, but he seemed to be the guy that, like, well, if they had to go out and get somebody, if they had to go out and get this closer, this starting pitcher, or this whatever, he's a guy that they consider. Well, the problem is he's now become an actual integral part of your everyday major league team, so you can't trade him away. So what do you have to trade after that? And I think what talent they have left at that point are the guys that they just drafted, or the guys that are very young. And if you go down this list, there are other relievers on here, Kirby Yates of the Padres. But again, he's under control for a long time, doesn't cost a lot of money. The amount of assets it would cost to acquire him would be big. And then you get to guys, you know, elsewhere further down in baseball. And one of those guys, one of these guys down here, I mean, I'll just scroll down for a while and pick a guy at random. As soon as I find a relief pitcher down here, maybe we've run out of them. Maybe they're not as many as I thought.
Well, I mean,
they're the guys who, that's who you're going to end up getting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the answer is going to be the guy who's number 45 on the list of possible trade targets.
Yeah, because you look at some of the top closers out there. I mean, you have Ken Giles with the Blue Jays. You have Felipe Vasquez from the Pirates. Brad Hand, who just was in the All-Star game. You're probably not getting
any of those guys.
But if you want So you can find a closer who has closer experience, and maybe that's all you want at this point, or all you need, because the bar right now for the bullpen and your ninth inning pitcher has been set very low.
I mean, ultimately, so I had this conversation with Maz a few weeks ago where I railed against the Red Sox for not signing a closer, Dave Dombrowski specifically, and I pulled up another list like that one, but these were all of the relief pitchers who signed free agent deals in the offseason. And one of them that I pointed out was Sergio Romo, who's a guy who was a closer for San Francisco for a long time, lights out, signed a nothing deal, like 1 year, $2 million, and he's the closer for the Miami Marlins right now, and he has, I don't know, 15, 16 saves. Here's the thing. He kind of sucks a little bit at the same time. He's only has, I think, two or three blown saves. He's accumulated 16 or 17 of them, but the peripherals aren't great. The ERA is high, walks and Ks and all of that. That guy might even be difficult for the Red Sox to get, but that might be as high as they can shoot. And I'll tell you this, as much as those other numbers suck and his ERA is high and he walks batters, I would take Sergio Romo right now, 100% on this team today over Matt Barnes or any other guy that you have on that roster as a possible closer, because I'll tell you this, he's pitching for a team that wins far fewer games than yours. And he's got a hell of a lot more saves than any guy in your roster does. So as bad as those peripheral numbers are, he's still getting saves. And your guy isn't. And that's a problem.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Marshall Hook filling in for Tony Mazzarotti here on the Baseball Reporters. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the past couple days talking about things to fix baseball, and a lot of that has been focused on length of game, right, and how to fix that. And ultimately, I've come to the conclusion that there really is no way to fix it that isn't radical. And by radical, I mean change a nine-inning game into a seven-inning game or things like that. Things like that that will never happen. But I'll tell you that there's another problem in baseball that has nothing to do with length of game. It has to do with fan interest. And part of that comes from the fact that I stand firmly in belief that there are simply too many baseball teams in this sport right now. And that there are markets, Tampa Bay notably among them, that simply cannot support these teams. Now, you take a look at both the Florida teams, the Miami Marlins, who have won two World Series but have remarkably little fan interest. And there's a level to which I blame the ownership of that team, because both times after they won a World Series, they immediately gutted the team. And the team was recently sold in the last couple years, and the new ownership came in the face of Derek Jeter. He actually owns remarkably little of it, but he's the forward face of the ownership. And they said, oh, don't worry, we're not going to, you know, gut this team. We're here to build a winner. And the very first thing they did was trade Giancarlo Stanton, one of the most impactful and maybe the best player ever to suit up for that team. So they're clearly not about it. And I wouldn't support that team if I lived there, no matter how much I loved the sport. They also built an atrocious abomination of a stadium, and they're making the taxpayers pay over $1 billion for it. So there's nothing about the Miami Marlins that, as a baseball fan, would make me support them. The Tampa Bay Rays, on the other hand, despite the fact that they don't have the money, really, to invest in big market names and big talent, have, despite that fact, managed to build a team that contends, not every year by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly contends more often than the Miami Marlins do, and are contending this year. And they are almost always a young and interesting team to watch, whereas the Marlins are a team that looks like what they are, the team that the least amount of money possible put on the field. And so when I look at it, and I look at the Tampa Bay Rays, who made the news a couple weeks ago because they're talking about actually splitting their season between Tampa and Montreal, another city that was unable to support this, and I say, how am I as a fan going to support that in either city? Am I going to support it for the first 3 months that were in Tampa and the last 3 months that were in Montreal? No, that just doesn't make any sense. So to me, it's about contraction. It's about taking a look at all the teams that are out there and getting rid of some. And the thing of it is, Major League Baseball, they don't want to do that. They, in fact, talk about the opposite. They talk about expansion. Mike, I don't know how much you know, have your finger on the pulse of every team that's in Major League Baseball and what city that they're in, but can you think of a single city out there right now, a single sports market that, given the opportunity to add a Major League Baseball team, could support it? Because as I look up and down and I think about the cities that are most often talked about, one of which is Montreal, people talk about Nashville, they talk about Portland, Oregon, they talk about Las Vegas or San Antonio, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina. I look at all of those and say 81 games a night, 81 of those, and I've done the research, I've looked at AAA teams that are in those cities, and I say I don't think any of those cities are in a position to long term, like maybe they do really well, the Nashville whatevers would do really well in their first season. I just don't buy it as a long term destination for baseball in any of those places.
Well, I think I'm with you. I'm contraction with teams, I'm contraction with games during the course of the season. I think everything just needs to be shorter, because in today's day and age, what do you do 81 times during a year outside of go to work? Name me one thing that you do 81 times. I can't think of anything except for sitting in my apartment and going to work. Those are the only things I do that many times during the course of the year.
I mean, think about it. Even if you're invested in some TV show, that's what, 22 times a year?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how many episodes of any TV show. So
to that point, yes, I think you can go to Nashville. I think you can go to a Vegas. I think you can go to a Portland, Oregon. And for the first 3 years, you're going to have that kind of new shiny team there and the novelty of it. You're going to get great attendance and great support for the first 3 years. If they aren't winning and if they start to fall off in terms of not putting a quality product on the field, that support's going to go away, and it's going to go away quick. And now you're sitting in the same situation as you have in Tampa Bay or Miami. Granted, they're different, but you're just going to have empty seats for 81 games and a stadium that was just built probably on taxpayer money.
Always on taxpayer money.
And now you're sitting here, all right, now we have another team that's not drawing. What do we do?
Well, and ultimately, here's the thing. My big plan to fix baseball via contraction is probably even less likely than my big plan to fix baseball by changing all the games to 7 innings. The one thing that seems realistic is another plan in which I shorten the regular season and expand the playoffs. But for all the teams that are going to make the playoffs, they're not going to give away all those dates. So it really comes back to every time I come up with something that will, you know, discernibly really kind of make baseball better, it's something that baseball is 100% unwilling to do. This is why all they end up doing is getting rid of intentional walks and, you know, coming up with cockamamie plans of things to do in extra innings, because all of the real stuff, all the stuff that would actually make a difference, they're not going to do any of that. They're not going to do it. Either the players won't do it, pitch clocks, you know, shortening up the game in that way, or the league won't do it in terms of removing games or removing anything. So, you know what? I've depressingly come to the conclusion here on July 12th of 2019 at 6:45.
Don't you
PM.
Say that.
I've come to the conclusion that baseball can't be fixed because baseball itself refuses to be fixed. They refuse to do the things that they need to do to get back to a point where they can compete with things like the NBA and the NFL. And so they will become what well, what Adam Jones called them. They'll become a regional sport. They'll be popular in places like New York and Boston. We'll always love the Red Sox at some level. You know what? The people in St. Louis, they'll turn out and they'll smile and they'll be vaguely racist when they do it, but they'll love their team. That's fine. Those markets will do it. And then places like, Miami, you know, Cincinnati, Colorado at some level, it'll anger.
Colorado's doing great. They're sixth in attendance right now.
All right. Well,
but it's funny. You look at the bottom five.
San Diego,
well, they probably had a bit of a boost because of Machado. They're 14th right now. But in your bottom five, it's Tampa, Miami, as expected. Baltimore, good park.
Wow, I mean, would you show up for that team?
Exactly. Bad team. Kansas City, bad team. Pittsburgh, good park, good city, bad team.
All right. Well, see, so ultimately, I don't think it can be fixed.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.